There's been nobody ever better on the radio than me, and I mean that.
The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from the Carter Subaru Studio. Welcome. Welcome to our top stories this hour. I got a lot of stuff to get to here, but I'm doing the fastest 50. You know, I try to keep up on all the text messages and emails that you send. I got an email about 12:20 this afternoon, and it was really curious to me, from a listener named John. So I'll read it again. He said, "We've had a person coming onto our property and tagging our house with BLM. They've written on my house, our fence, and our landscaping. We caught the person in our yard and confronted them at their home, at which time the person changed her appearance and was not recognizable. It's been every day since then. The mother at the kid's home is in denial and said it's impossible. Both my wife and I know it was her. I have photos for proof she was in our yard. Now here's the kicker. We are white, so are they. How does a 10-year-old girl know how to change their appearance and continue like it's no big deal?" And he said, "We had the whole family trespassed, now living with the reality of domestic terrorists." So this whole thing was just very curious to me. So I asked Nicole to reach out to the guy who sent the email, and she's gotten him. John joins us here on the Dory Monson Show. Hey, John, thanks for coming on such short notice.
Thanks for having me.
Okay. All right. So this is very odd to me. So the 10-year-old girl lives right next door to your house. Is that right?
Correct. We've lived next door to each other, I think, just under 2 years. And okay, I want to make clear that we do not know each other.
I do not know
my next-door neighbors.
Okay. What city? You don't have to give me any specifics, but whereabouts do you live?
In South Pierce County.
South Pierce. Okay. All right. So so you've caught this 10-year-old girl, and she's tagging your house and your fence, and you've seen her doing this.
Correct? Well, we haven't seen her in the act.
Okay.
But we had some suspicious activity happen on Friday and on Sunday.
Okay.
And Sunday is when we noticed that someone had taken a Sharpie and turned over a fairly good-sized landscaping rock and had written Black Lives Matter on it.
Okay.
And that kind of got us like, okay, so somebody's turning off our sprinkler and moving it and coming into our yard in between while my wife is watering the lawn and going back into the house, and she sets a timer. She goes back out.
Okay,
the
I gotcha.
Sprinkler is turned off.
You say you don't know these neighbors. Have you had any beef? I mean, do you not talk to them because you've had some sort of beef, or you just don't talk at all for no reason?
They mind their business. I mind my business. We live right next door to each other in the sense of we live on a block, and you know.
Okay, got
it. They're right next
door. So you go over to her mom. Is there a mom and a dad, or what's the family structure?
I've only dealt with the mother. Yeah, so we go over. So Sunday night, my wife saw her in the yard, and we chased her out. But by the time we got that, we were in our house, and by the time we got in the yard, the person disappeared. I mean, poof, gone.
Right.
And we're like, okay, so where did she go? So it took a few minutes, but eventually the video came to my phone.
Okay.
So I'm watching the video. Boom, there she is. I start tagging the button to get pictures of her.
Okay.
So I left in my car right after that, and she was sitting on the front porch, and I was like, well, that's the girl that was in the front yard. So I went over to their house.
Uh-huh.
And asked the mother if she could look at the photograph to see if she could identify. Maybe they seen this person coming past their home or something. And right. when I held up the camera and showed her the picture, she told me that it was her daughter.
Okay. And did you say that you think the daughter has been tagging your home and your property?
No. What I said to her was that I haven't had anybody on my property in 3.5 years. And I have video evidence and photographic evidence of her daughter. And I said, and you just identified her. And I want to say to you that the trespassing for messing with my sprinkler, I don't care about. But right. the Black Lives Matter, I do care about. And I consider that to be a direct threat against my home, my property, and my family.
Well,
and that's
regardless
the seriousness of this.
Well,
even if it's an innocent 10-year-old girl, how's she changing her appearance and doing that?
What,
the lady brought her out and showed her to my
wife. What do you mean she changes her appearance? I'm getting very confused here. What do you mean she changes her appearance?
So when we chased her outside, when my wife saw her in the window, we chased her outside and she poof disappeared.
Okay.
So we went over there and asked them if they'd seen her. They said no. This was at about 20 minutes to 8.
Right.
So I left. When I had left to go drive around the neighborhood the first time, my wife went over there and the lady brought her daughter out. And my wife couldn't recognize her because she had changed. She'd taken her hair out of a ponytail. She had changed her clothes completely. She didn't look
the
same.
Okay, I'm going to stick with this just because I'm fascinated to see how this turns out. So, so the mom is in denial. You and when you say you trespassed the entire family, did you go to the cops about this?
So this morning I went out to go to work, and because of the last couple of days and the fact that I'm a constitutional conservative, I'm very concerned about the security of my property, which is open. I mean, I have a backyard fence, but the front yard's open.
Yeah, no, we're all
I have a habit of doing a little perimeter patrol. And so I decided to just go walk through my yard, and that's when I saw pretty much the camel that broke my back, or the feather that broke this camel's back.
Okay.
And I called the sheriff's department.
And what'd they say?
And they showed up within about 20 minutes, believe it or not.
Good for that. Well, Pierce County Sheriff's awesome.
For you people in King County, they show up when you call them.
Absolutely. Vote Ed Troyer.
So I just told them the mom's been lying to me. I want them trespassed.
Okay.
And they did it.
Okay. Well, and so do you think everything's okay now then? We're going to be okay, you think?
Well, I came in right after that, and I ordered 3 more cameras.
Mm-hmm.
And I finally put up no trespassing signs, and I put a lock on my back gate.
There you go.
And
all right.
They pretty much know that, well, I mean, if they do come on the property, they're going to get arrested for trespassing the second time.
Okay,
but
got it. Well, I hope this
two of my signs pretty much let them know that it's a life or death decision on whether you want to come on my property right now.
No. You're not going to kill somebody.
Hey, man.
Coming on your property.
Dory, all I got to say to you is you look at the news reports coming out of Portland.
I know the news.
About now they're in the urban areas. And they're,
John,
they're,
don't
they're
talk,
going after people
don't talk
that
about
are
life or death
them.
With a 10-year-old neighbor girl.
I'm sorry about that. I wouldn't do that to a young child, but I don't know the parents either.
Well, you can't do it to anybody unless...
And we are freaked out.
Okay. Okay.
Are you kidding me?
Well, you're going to go to prison for the rest of your life then. You don't want
that.
Well,
and I realize that. And I'm the one that would pay that price. And I understand that there are repercussions for my decisions to do that. And if it actually happened or would not happen, excuse me.
Don't let this amp up in your mind. Don't let this happen.
It would not happen to a 10-year-old girl. But there are 3 adults that live in that house. And they lied to my face.
They should have them under control. But John, don't let this blow up into something in your head that driving you crazy. It's not worth being driven.
I've had a lot better days. My neighbors are freaked out too. The ones that I've spoken to, and they're a little freaked out too.
I understand that it's annoying, But it's a 10-year-old kid being stupid, it sounds like. And you're talking about life or death situation, and you're letting this amp up in your mind. I mean, I go ahead and protect your property, but you're letting it amp up in your mind to where it's driving you crazy, it sounds like. And that's not worth it. Control what you can control.
The whole thing does. Dory, I'll be honest with you. I appreciate the advice that you're giving me. I guess, for lack of a better way to say it, I'm not that person that I just said to you in my normal everyday life. I am amped up. It's happened over a five-day period. It's been amping up. So you're not getting me at the beginning of the problem. You're getting me to the point. I mean, you're getting me right now where I'm to the point that, you know.
Okay, but John,
hey, this
John,
is frustrating.
John,
my wife's
John, listen to me. Listen to me. Listen to me. I understand what you're saying, but all you can control is what you can control. You've done everything you can. You got your cameras. You called the cops. But you're letting this drive you crazy, and you're going to get in trouble for that. You sound like a good dude. I just don't let this become something that drives you insane. It's a stupid 10-year-old kid. I did a lot of really stupid things when I was 10 years old, John. I feel bad about it, but that doesn't mean you got evil visited upon you. It's just you got a stupid kid who does stupid things. And I'm not trying to minimize what annoyance you feel, but it certainly isn't worth the level of mental anguish that I hear coming from you right now.
Well, Dory, I got to tell you that I have massive respect for you. I listen to you every day.
I appreciate
it. I have for several years. And yeah. I do appreciate your advice, and I already know all of that.
Okay.
And I'm not rejecting it from you. I appreciate it, man.
Well,
I really don't know how I would react. to be honest with you, if I physically saw that happen in my yard,
you're not going to do anything violent.
I did exactly what I was supposed to do. I called the Pierce County Sheriff. An online report. They came out. I reported when I got a case number. I continued to report.
Okay. But let's step back for just a second.
I said, this is ridiculous,
Okay, John, let's step back for just a second, because I'm getting more and more intrigued with it. Like I said, I did a lot of stupid things when I was 10. I'm hearing right now with you somebody who sounds like you're on some edge. And, there have to be some other things going on besides this 10-year-old kid. Am I right about that?
I don't know. I mean, I'm definitely not a person that is digging what has been going on around our state for a couple of years.
Neither am I.
The BLM thing is a pretty weird way for someone to do that. I told my wife, they could have wrote anything else, but to me, wow, really?
Well, I know, but nobody should write anything on your property. But if somebody wants to say that or believe in that, they're free to do that. I mean, you talked about how you're a constitutional guy. They're not free to destroy you or to vandalize your property, but they're free to think whatever they want to think. And you're free to think whatever you want to think,
go over there with my crayons and write Trump 2020.
No, I
could be free to do that.
But that's because you're not a 10-year-old kid.
I don't have anything in my yard that says about how I believe or anything.
You're not a 10-year-old child, John.
10-year-old girl, writing BLM on my house.
I know, but
for days.
She should clean it off, and you should be done with it.
My wife and I talked about it, and we decided to give them 24 hours to see if they would come over and apologize. Well, and they did not. And the answer we got back was, three more tags.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry.
Out on my fence.
Yeah. No, I'm sorry about that. You know, nobody should be vandalizing your property. But all I'm telling you is that you can't let this turn you into a crazy person. Because then you are creating more problems for yourself than anybody else is creating for you.
I fully understand that. I'm a grown adult, have been for quite a few decades. I fully understand that. And maybe now I can walk that back a little bit with a little bit of humility that I should not have said that.
No,
and you're right.
I mean, okay.
You know,
right. Okay.
I am pretty upset with the fact that, you know, we've been violated. There was a 10-year-old girl. She's being deceptive.
I get all of that.
It's continuing.
I get all of that. But the violation gets even worse when you let it echo and accelerate in your own mind. I'm sorry this is happening, and a punk kid is a punk kid. But don't let it turn you into a crazy person. That's all I'm saying. Is, you know, we have a measure of control over our lives, and this is a part of your life where you got to try to say, okay, I'm annoyed by that, but I'm not gonna let this, you know, turn me into a dangerous person who says irresponsible things. Because you don't want to be that person.
Fair,
John.
That's fair
that.
Enough. I appreciate that advice.
Okay. All right. I'm glad you can visit.
I think also, too, I might be representing some people around the area that feel somewhat the same and are afraid to say what they feel.
No, you are. I know. I know. And John, I get all of that. I really do. But control what you can control, and don't let outside forces ruin your ability to be happy in life.
You ever have someone come to your house you didn't want there?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Did you control it?
I don't. I control what I can control. And look,
there
it's a 10-year-old kid.
Fair enough, Dory.
10-year-old kids are stupid at times, do stupid things. Okay, John.
Well, you know, keep
a cool head.
People who raised them.
I know. I don't know this kid, and I don't know the parents, so I can't say anything about them. But don't let them turn you into something you don't want to be. Okay.
Fair enough.
Okay.
I think, John. By you and me talking, I think it just shows the frustration that some of us out there are having with the state of affairs around here.
I understand. Okay, but hang in there. Okay.
Yeah, great advice. I appreciate it.
Okay. All right. Thanks for listening. I'm glad you came on.
Dude, I got mad respect for you. I met Brandy Cruz one time, and I messed up, and I was like, oh, I'm a huge Dory fan. And she was like, oh, yeah, thanks. My bad.
No, she needs to hear more of that. She's getting too big a head. She needs to hear more.
I love her
like
work,
that.
Too.
Yeah, I do, too. All right. Okay, John, you take care, my friend, okay?
Thanks, sir.
Okay, see ya. There goes John. That was a little moment of spontaneity for you there. And that is your big lead this hour.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
Just never know what to expect, do you? Okay, let me know what you think about the conversation we just had. You can text me at 98973. I'll sort through those. Text me at 98973. And we got lots more still to come. I have no idea what it is after that. But we got lots more. Straight ahead on the Dory Monson Show. Oh, man. I am getting a lot of feedback on the interview we just had with John down there in Pierce County. Somebody wrote, this is awesome. Reminds me of your show back when you used to take calls. And I had right in the middle of that. That's from the 253. Right in the middle of that conversation, I had the exact same flashback feeling. You know, and a lot of people say, why don't you do that more often, have calls? And, you know, the first few minutes of John's call, I had no idea where it was going. And that's one of the challenges is we are rethinking the radio show. I'll tell you a little bit of the history. If you maybe you've heard this before, or if you're a somewhat new listener. So when I first got this show back in 1995, Cairo Radio was just a very kind of traditional news station. And even what they, you know, called midday talk shows, they were basically just interview shows. It was just every 15 minutes, a different interview guest. And I wanted, and this is a big shock, that I wanted to be a contrarian, because I always want to be a contrarian. And it's not intentional. It's just kind of the way my brain works, I guess. But I wanted to go 180 degrees the other way. And so when I was trying to weasel my way into this job, and it was, I'd never done a daily talk show. I didn't have that much life experience. I was 32 years old, you know, which is pretty young, especially for a real traditional radio station like Cairo. And I said, no, I want to turn Cairo Radio on its ear. And so I am going to only take calls, no interviews ever. And that was the original concept of the show. And so it was one topic per hour. I'd try to find, you know, three topics a day that would have people somewhat divided in, you know, their view on the issue. And then I'd set it up in the first segment, and then we'd take phone calls the rest of the hour. Now, that was new and revolutionary for Cairo Radio at the time, just because nobody was doing it. But then it kind of became more of the standard of caller-driven shows. And talk radio is just always evolving. And then when we finally got wired up, I mean, to research a topic back in 95, 96, I would have to plan topics often 2 or 3 days in advance because we didn't have the internet. And so if you really wanted to thoroughly research a topic, I would often go down to the downtown Seattle library and on microfiche look up old Seattle Times stories to get background information. I mean, it is mind-blowing when you think about the amount of data and information that all of us have, you know, and our phone is our portal to all of the world now. I had to go down and look at microfiche. So all we did was caller driven in the earliest days of the show. Never had guests. But then once you started getting this mountain of data, you know, via the web, all of a sudden we couldn't do topics that were 24, 48 hours old. You couldn't do topics that were 2 or 3 hours old. You had to feed this constant, you know, thirst for information that people acquired because of the instantaneousness of news all of a sudden. So then the show evolved, and you know, there was a time when we had a program director who wanted Cairo to be more of a lifestyle radio station. And so instead of talking about the news, we were just talking. And it was just, some of it was fun. I like taking calls on the sexiest cartoon character of all time. By the way, Betty Cooper in Archie comic books. Although I liked Midge with that sassy short hair of hers. But anyway, I'm getting sidetracked here. So then for a while, they wanted us to just be lifestyle. And I found that to be just brain numbing. You know, it's like what daytime TV is like today, where there's no substance and you just prattling on about things that don't really matter. And I always want to be a watchdog of government and all that stuff. And so the show keeps evolving, but it was just kind of fun to see so many text messages saying, I miss when you take calls. Just remember, for every call that turns, and you know, the first part of John's call, I thought, I don't think this is going anywhere. And then the last part, I thought, this is pretty intense. This is interesting. But it's also hit or miss. And there's no certainty you're going to get interesting every time you jump in. But anyway, thank you. Thanks for reminiscing for the many of you who sent messages about that. And anyway, that's a little bit of the history of the show. So now we do a blend. You know, we have several news stories, not one an hour, but we do a ton of stories every hour. We get newsmaker guests. We play a ton of sound bites. We couldn't get audio like we have now back then. So the show's just constantly evolving. Calls, no calls, weave them back in. Who knows what tomorrow will bring? I do not, but I know what's coming up next. We will take a look at our favorite sound bites of the day. Awesome audio as the Dory Monson Show rolls on. And down the stretch we come. What a day, what a show, what a show, what a day. And it's that time of the day when we like to count down our favorite sound bites of the day.
This is Dory Monson's Awesome Audio Clips of the Day.
Okay, I got a bunch to roll through here. In fact, as we speak right now in Wilmington, Delaware, Kamala Harris is speaking. She and Joe Biden just made their debut as running mates. So we're just getting some audio in from this event as it's still going on here. Now, first of all, they got to, you know, I've told you they're having trouble getting enthusiasm. They got to work on the background music, which is just annoying people right before they spoke today. This is what was playing in the arena for 10 minutes. It wasn't an arena, it's a gym. But does this give you some feeling of anticipation of the new direction of our country? It just makes me jittery. Okay, now we are told that it's going to be fun to see all the excitement that Kamala Harris provides.
It's going to be gratifying to see the strong, enthusiastic reaction to Senator Harris as our next vice president. You know, it comes from people.
It's just tough with his tone of, it's going to be exciting to see the excitement that she brings.
Well, all over the country. It's already occurring. All over the country. All ideological views, all backgrounds. Events, of course, we are predictable, some of them. It comes from all over, except, of course, from Donald Trump's White House and his allies. You all knew it was coming. You could have said...
Wow. This is why they're keeping Joe in the basement. This is his first appearance in ages outside of the basement. And he's trying to get people fired up about Kamala Harris. And this is, believe it or not, that was only 24 seconds of a 32-second soundbite. When Trump says Sleepy Joe, he might be on to something.
Get your watches to it. Donald Trump has already started his attacks calling Kamala, quote, nasty.
Well, Joe, she's the one who called you best friend of the KKK guys. She said some really nasty things about you, Joe. But she means possibility for America.
One of the reasons I chose Kamala is because we both believe that we can define America simply in one word. Possibilities. Possibilities. Let me say it again. Possibilities. That's America. That's what sets this nation apart.
That was funny. Possibilities. It's America, man. Okay, now, Donald Trump, he is speaking about this choice of Kamala Harris.
So she was my number one pick. I mean, she was, as they would say, because hopefully you'll start college football, she was my number one draft pick. And we'll see how she works out. She did very, very poorly in the primaries, as you know. She was expected to do well. And she ended up at right around 2% and spent a lot of money. She had a lot of things happening. And so I was a little surprised that he picked her. I've been watching her for a long time, and I was a little surprised. She was extraordinarily nasty to Kavanaugh, Judge Kavanaugh then, now Justice Kavanaugh. She was nasty to a level that was just a horrible thing, the way she was, the way she treated now Justice Kavanaugh. And I won't forget that soon.
Now, that is very true. I mean, Kamala Harris was so irresponsible and so filled with hate as they tried to destroy a good man in Justice Kavanaugh. And Kamala Harris was the worst of the bunch on that. And then you know, Democrats, Tulsi Gabbard, who was the Democrat I liked the most as she was going through the primaries, but she wasn't a big Kamala Harris fan either.
She put over 1,500 people in jail for marijuana violations and then laughed about it when she was asked if she ever smoked marijuana. She blocked evidence. She blocked evidence that would have freed an innocent man from death row until the courts forced her to do so. She kept people in prison beyond their sentences to use them as cheap labor for the state of California. And she fought to keep cash bail system in place that impacts poor people in the worst kind of way.
So what they said about Kamala Harris during the Democrat debates, her fellow Dems, you know that that's going to be used against her in the general election. And so already Trump's running an ad.
Kamala Harris ran for president by rushing to the radical left, embracing Bernie's plan for socialized medicine, calling for trillions in new taxes, attacking Joe Biden for racist policies. Voters rejected Harris. They smartly spotted a phony. But not Joe Biden. He's not that smart. Biden calls himself a transition candidate. He is handing over the reins to Kamala while they jointly embrace the radical left. Slow Joe and phony Kamala. Perfect together. Wrong for America.
Oh, man. Hold on tight. Got less than 3 months, and it's going to get nasty. Okay, that is it for me this afternoon. Tom and Curly are coming up next. God bless you in these crazy times. I'll see you back here tomorrow. High noon.
How dare you? You have stolen my dreams and my childhood with your empty words. And yet, I'm one of the lucky ones.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.